from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm scared.
Me too.
There's no Paul here. Although my Bills hat, looks unbelievable today here. Limits.
I like it. It's not your Toronto Blue Jays hat, but I like it.
I don't care what you say. How was IT back there? Doing well? Next week is
fantastic,
his last week.
He says.
We can have a party for him next week?
I think we definitely need to. A big send-off back to college.
We're never going to forget you, IT. Where does he go to college again?
Take a guess.
Syracuse or IUP?
IUP.
Yeah. That's what I thought. After Syracuse. What's wrong with you? Didn't you have a story from the game last night? Or the flood game? What were we talking about this morning back there?
Well, we were talking about a couple of different things. I was not at the game. I was at camp yesterday.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah.
City Limits goes to camp. We could have a little half-hour special on that if we want.
I'd love to.
Right?
I took some notes based on what I saw, mentally prepared notes for today's show.
Obviously, Ayuk Watch is at the top of the show today, along with, man, just an increasing opportunity for Justin Fields. If not to start, and I don't think that's going to happen, right? Even though that door's been cracked open a little bit, to me, the real story with him is the impression that you get to make upon the coaches and how that relates to if Russell Wilson struggles, how quickly does Tomlin go to the bullpen? That's the story there. And the idea that the Steelers could be very, very tempted at this point to have a 25-year-old just stud in terms of running the ball, sort of being the ringmaster of a physical run game, running zone read. I mean, that just has to be incredibly tempting for them right now. Ayuk Watch, we saw the Patriots drop out. They're done. Apparently. I mean, you can always drop back in, just like Washington could, but it seems to be a two-team race here. And isn't it interesting that it's the Steelers and your Cleve Brownies? Where are we with this City Limits? I've been following it, you know, second by second, which means I've lost about 5 seconds. What about this Matt Maiocco from San Francisco? Is that how he sees it?
Yeah, he proposed a couple of potential trades in an article that he wrote last night and put out some more further. He put out a tweet at what was 1:46 a.m. our time.
Yeah.
So that's what? I mean, 10:46 West Coast time, whatever. And said the fact that the Steelers are back in talks with the 49ers towards a potential Brandon Ayuk trade shows all sides have a willingness to get something done.
Is that interesting?
Very fascinating. That makes you think he knows something, but is not actually saying, yeah, it's going to happen.
That's almost a recreation of the famous pony tweet. They're at the goal line with Ayuk, right?
And they were, according to the pony, they were at the goal line 2 days ago.
As I said yesterday, they were at the goal line. Unfortunately, Matt Canada called the next play.
And Russell Wilson threw a pick at the end zone instead of giving it to, you know, Marshawn Lynch to run it in.
So maybe they are at the goal line. Like I said yesterday, I trust Pony's reporting on all of this. I just thought it was very funny that he was getting blamed when it didn't go down. But from the sounds of it, and that tweet right there really drives it home that we could be nearing a finish line and of some sort.
He followed it up.
Either way.
He followed it up with Amari Cooper could potentially be who Cleveland would give up in the deal, and that they currently have a framework in place about a trade, but Ayuk has not accepted the Browns' contract proposal yet, and that Ayuk would rather play for the Steelers pretty much, and that if there's no player involved, the 49ers could seek 2 second-day-after picks and potentially pick in 26.
From the Steelers?
From the Steelers, yes.
Tell me that again
so
from the Steelers.
If there are no players involved,
yeah.
The 49ers could seek 2 second-day picks. And he proposed, let's say the 49ers acquire a second and a third from Pittsburgh,
yeah,
along with another pick in the 26th draft.
My God.
So you're not talking about a first-round pick.
Yeah, I would do that in a second.
I would. You were also having to pay him $30 million, though.
And it's getting well, yeah. I mean, that was always the case. It's
right.
Getting interesting in San Francisco because McCaffrey has a foot injury. The rookie receiver has a shoulder injury. You lose Ayuk. Debo Samuel isn't exactly an Iron Man out there. He's hurt all the time, often playing hurt, it seems, too. So they must really be just turned off by Ayuk in addition to the obvious contract situation. I was reading Michael Silver's piece last night where he thought that, and he's been around the Bay Area forever covering sports, used to write for Sports Illustrated as well. His take was at first he thought the 49ers held all the cards, but now he feels like Ayuk has gained control of the situation. And this hold in, basically the story from Silver is that the hold in is pissing Kyle Shanahan off. Like Trent Williams is holding out, and when you're not there, it's almost easier to deal with as a coach. Plus, you're talking about one of the most respected players probably in NFL history in Trent Williams. But that it's easier to sort of deal with because it's out of sight, out of mind. Whereas with, with Ayuk, he's there every day. Silver is intimating that Shanahan sort of doesn't like the general demeanor that Ayuk is displaying at camp and basically wants him out. So if the Steelers could swoop in here at the last second, although that sort of mischaracterizes the whole thing because it feels like they've been in this now for months, which they have, but to sort of dive back in after it was thought they were out and make this happen without giving up a first-round pick?
It'd be huge.
Oh, my God.
I trust Pony's reporting on this, too. Like he's been on it for a long portion of this. And how about Good Morning Football? Just played a clip. We have it on the TV here of Christian McCaffrey referring to Brandon Ayuk as his former teammate, Brandon Ayuk, and then correcting himself.
Yeah.
So it seems like even in San Francisco, the mentality is that this guy's going to be moved. And would Mike Tomlin make a joke today in his press conference? He was asked, you looking to add to the depth chart at all anywhere? Oh, you know, I'll let you guys speculate on that. Don't shut it down. He seems to be playing along with it, too. He seems like a guy confident that this trade's going to happen.
Well, let's hope it happens during our show.
That would be ideal, yes.
That would be wonderful. City Limits will be on that. He's trying to get a hold of Matt. What's the guy's name? Mayako?
Yes. Matt Maiocco.
He's apparently the Ed Bouchette of San Francisco. Is that accurate?
Yes, and every time I try to click the link to his email, it does not go to his actual email.
So you're not even going to give him a chance to give us the Bellefonte snorkel, huh?
I'm doing my best, but he's giving me the Bellefonte snorkel in many ways, more than one.
Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Got a lot happening on today's show. First and foremost, Aiyuk Watch. Did I mention Paul's sick? Did I get him sick?
I hope you did not, which means...
It would be too soon for me to get him sick.
I would think right? So, yeah. Hopefully everybody can just be healthy.
Yeah, we're like the Pirates bullpen. We're never together and healthy and at the height of our powers here.
No.
One of us always seems to be out.
So Paul is Colin Holderman, or were you Colin Holderman? And if so, who is Paul?
Paul is, Santana, I think.
Yes, yeah. Dennis Santana. It started out very well, and now it's just sliding down.
How was your trip to Camp Limits? Let's get into that before we get back to Aiyuk. Did you meet some of the Pittsburgh media Steeler luminaries, Ray Fittipaldo, Brian Batko, people like that?
I did. I'd never had the chance to meet them in person before. So I got a chance to talk to Ray. Ray recognized my voice after I started coming over and saying something to him. It took Ray a while to realize who it was.
Was this down by the field?
Yeah, it was on the field. Batko knew, and I talked to a couple others. I saw Jeff. I hung out with Jeff for a bit.
Yeah.
My buddy Nick Farabaugh, not from Slippery Rock,
no.
Nick.
How about Jerry Dulac? Did you dare approach him?
I did not.
Was he there?
I talked to Tim Benz and Mike Pursuta, but I don't know if they knew who I was. And I didn't feel like introducing myself 5 minutes into the conversation we were having.
Both very nice men. Yeah, you should get to know Benzie.
The first person that I talked to, though, was Brian Baldinger.
Ooh.
He was there, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go say hello, talk to him. He comes on comes on the station a lot.
You should have interviewed him on site.
Baldy really likes Nate Herbig at center.
Does he?
Says he's a good player. He likes the way he plays. Because I was talking about Zach Frazier and getting Zach Frazier in there early, and he was singing the praises of Herbig.
And you found Baldy very welcoming.
Yes, very kind man. I thought that he would potentially, after I said, hello, I'm from the fan, thanks for coming on a couple of times, he'd be like, yeah, yeah, and then just walk away. Yeah. No, he started asking some questions. He was like, so what have you seen so far? And
how about Batko?
Talking about Wilson and stuff like that. I talked to Brian for probably about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Impressions? He doesn't sound like much.
He asked how you were doing, Joe. He was is Joe back today from his long-ass hiatus that he's had?
That was nice of him. And Ray, I mean, you can't beat that, right?
Yeah, Ray's
any players?
Great.
Did you get in on the player scrums?
No, because I had to go up to PAC Media Day, which was the main purpose that I was there.
Oh.
But we were able to go to practice beforehand. So I had to start conducting interviews. And
any other impressions of Steelers from camp? Things you saw, things you witnessed, any inside stories, inside scoop?
Justin Fields was very good.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson also was pretty good. I think Fields probably had the better day of the two quarterbacks. And you can just tell the athleticism shined. A couple of the backup running backs performed well. Corey Trice did not play as well as I thought he was going to in the secondary. But Alandon Roberts with another huge physical hit on Jaylen Warren. I mean, all the reporters have said it. And sometimes you have to see it to truly believe it. Not that I didn't believe what they were reporting. But it really is more than previous camps that I've been to. And I've been to camp probably, I don't know, 4 of the last 5 years or so. It is very, very physical out there, this camp, Joe. Like, everything that is being reported about the physicality, it's been heightened, and it's on full display.
Well, I'm glad that you went there, and it sounds like you made an impression people recognize. Did they call you City Limits?
Brian did, Batko, yeah. That was all.
Yeah.
And I saw...
What about Benzie? Oh, you said Benzie didn't know
I don't know,
who
know
you
if
were.
He recognized me or not. I don't know if he knew who
what
I was.
What did you say to him?
We just started talking about baseball and other things that we saw in practice.
Just two men who didn't know each other strike up a conversation?
Well, I was talking to Jeff, and Jeff was also talking to Pursuta and Benz.
Should Jeff have maybe introduced you?
I was thinking that was possible.
On his part?
Well,
he wouldn't know,
though.
Maybe he thinks that you had met Benzie.
Correct, because the way that I was talking, it was if I had known them.
Yes, I'm trying to avoid the Pirate game as well. What a disaster that was.
I think I fell asleep during the ninth inning. It was just a snoozer of a game.
What an epic disaster.
What a disaster with draining the field.
Well, starting
the
with
game,
that.
The field, all of it was a complete disaster. And I saw Shelty at camp.
What? Did you say hi to him?
I did not. Him and Charrington walked right past me. I turned my head, saw them, and they were already in like an area the media can't go by the time that.
Did you hear things got noticed. A little testy with Shelty and I yesterday?
I listened to it. I listened back yesterday to the interview.
Why don't we listen back to the beginning? At some point, we can analyze
it. We can do that.
It just felt very symbolic last night. The Pirates looked helpless, both against the floodwaters on the warning track, and against the Padres bullpen, which is very good, but you figure they're getting a break here when their starter leaves on a raft after an inning.
And a starter that's thrown a no-hitter this year.
Yeah, that's never and doesn't come back, and they just look so helpless. They really didn't. It was so silent and so bleak. And now they're, what, four games back with another team in front of them. And the Padres and the Diamondbacks don't lose anymore. And they both are better. And the Braves are obviously better than the Pirates, even with their injuries. And now you got to worry about the Cardinals and the Mets. And I don't know, man. Last night went to bed and woke up feeling like the mission here feels more impossible than it has at any point in recent memory, like for the past several weeks. How about you?
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where even though it is only four games, one, I think the wild card race at this point might be insurmountable. And I think that there's a better chance that they can win the division than there is get into the wild card. That's how well San Diego, Arizona, the Mets are playing right now. Same thing with Atlanta. Milwaukee's okay. You also have games against them at the very end of the year. And I know you're seven back compared to four in the wild card race, but the way that it's trending, the Pirates are going down and everyone else is a huge, huge, steep climb up.
There's teams behind them that I still feel like could easily catch them and pass them. They're as closer than the Pirates are to the wild card. When you talk Reds, Giants.
Yeah, San Diego's or San Francisco's coming up close.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a reaction to one game, but it's really the gut-wrenching losses of late and then just a non-compete last night. It felt symbolic, too, with the floodwaters in the outfield.
Well, they've lost.
Did you see the two? There was basically a lake on the warning track, and they had two guys with a broom. And I thought to myself, isn't there a machine that sucks up water over
there? Yes, they have like one of those pumps that sucks up the water. And there's a bunch of drains there. And all the drains were supposedly flooded and clogged by, I think, dirt.
It was very similar to the Muddy Night football game. Remember that game against the Dolphins? 3-0. They called it the Muddy Night football game.
When the ball just stuck into the grass and did not move?
Yes. The one
on the punt. Yeah.
Stuck in the ground like a javelin. That was because of some sort of tarp malfunction or something. As was this. I don't know a lot about machinery and trucks and water emergencies. But it felt to me like there should be some sort of contraption on a truck that could suck up the water in a few seconds, let alone 2 hours and 40 minutes. But when I first looked out there, at least on TV, I was watching the game on TV, there was two guys with each with a broom.
Oh, yeah.
And that definitely didn't look like it could take 2 hours. It looked like it could take 2 years for those guys to get done. And then they brought out the mini tractor with the contraption on it, which seemed to help matters. I just never dreamed that water on the warning track could be that much of an issue.
They reset a start time, expected start time of 8:15.
I know.
They didn't play until
Cease came out to the mound.
And they didn't play again until like 9:40.
Till they gave him a cease and desist. Do you like that horse?
Well, I do like that one horse.
What? And then 8:30, yes.
That was just the Pirates' playoff chances trying to stay afloat in that dirt in the outfield warning track. And the funny part about it is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was the next batter, immediately hits one to the warning track.
That was great. That was fantastic. But the other thing was, even if there's a swimming pool out there, can we play some baseball? It's not like the whole game is in water. We're not going to be immersed in water here. Let's play ball. What are we doing? Limits? What's happening in there? Is there an emergency? Why has he walked in? Why is that guy here? What happened?
Vic is going to fix the video monitor that we have in here today. There was a malfunction over the weekend.
Video malfunction.
It malfunctioned like the outfield warning track drains.
They should have put Vic out on the warning track last night. Why couldn't they play with a wet warning track? I mean, come on.
Well, risk of player injuries and all that.
No, get out of here with the risk of player injury.
I think the warning track was still wet when they played.
Why didn't they hand every player a broom or call down 1,000 fans with 1,000 brooms?
Yeah, remember when Andrew McCutchen and others helped with the tarp monster?
Yes.
And that guy got swallowed up by the tarp? They made it a t-shirt that one year. Remember that?
The sight of two men trying to drain a lake last night, it was very metaphorical, if that's a word. Metaphoric.
Dunlap had a funny tweet last night. There were a bunch of people with the grounds crew that were standing on the stairs, and there was two guys just in the warning track that were just standing there. And he was like, this is what happens on a PennDOT construction site when two guys are working and everybody else is just watching.
That's what I've been
saying. It didn't make sense.
It was two guys.
All the players and, like, Shelton was out there. Shelton and the Padres team, the whole Padres team, was just hanging out in the outfield.
I know.
For like a half an hour. And Greg Brown is trying to narrate what's going on as it's basically just people standing around waiting for New York, who's not there, to make a call
right on
if they should play.
Bob Walk was all over that. They're like, all right, we have an 8:15 start time. And, you know, there's two guys standing in a lake and everybody else standing around in the outfield. And Walkie's like, I don't think they're starting in 5 minutes here. And then Cease comes out to the mound. Like, what was he looking at? Did he not see everybody in the outfield? And that one of his outfielders compared, did you see the guy pretend dive into the warning track?
Yeah, it was like the Allegheny River had made its way to the warning track out and left.
Had a diving company. Like, what was he doing? I'm just going to go out and warm up. They said 8:15, and Kiner Falefa was in the batter's box. Like, I realized they said 8:15, guys, but look that way.
Yeah, we might have found our new Olympic diver if anybody would have gave a chance for it. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, how does that happen where the drains get that backed up? And I know it's Mother Nature. You can't really control it.
I don't blame anyone for that. That's a malfunction.
They made the decision to have a start time at 8:15, knowing that there was a significant problem. Like, why just give everybody false hope for that? And when they did that, the Pirates are now giving everybody, I think, like, complimentary tickets to another game.
That's the right thing to do. Brian Rurecki got unbelievable TV time last night.
Yeah. What a weird situation.
He was the biggest star of the night. Every time I looked on the field, there was Rurecki.
Yeah, Ryan Barucki, who hasn't played
since Brian Rurecki. Yes.
And now, I mean, it was good on the Pirates to do that.
You're not talking about
Ryan Barucki. I saw a lot of Ryan Barucki out there.
No, I'm talking about Brian Rurecki, the PR man.
Easy to be confusable.
You thought that whole time I was talking about Ryan Barucki?
Yeah, because the TV showed Ryan Barucki on the field. Yes.
What's he doing here? I don't know.
He's hurt. He's still, like, rehabbing. He's still trying to get back.
They should have put either one of those guys in their lineup last night. I mean, I wrote this morning.
They should have put Colin Holderman in there to mop up some of the water. That might be his new role.
They would have wound up with one of the biggest floods in Pittsburgh history if they did that.
You like that one, Horse?
What was I just going to say about, and then they get to, yes, it was. They get to the game and they drop three pop-ups in a row. First of all, Rowdy, you can sort of forgive, but that ball's got to be caught.
Right, it should.
Every first baseman in baseball makes the play. Rowdy's actually a good fielder, but you got to make that play. I think he was fooled by the speed of it. Okay. Then the next one, Triola.
And Kiner Falefa.
But it was more Triola.
It was more Triola.
The ball was right at him, pretty much. You or I make that catch, I think. What happened?
IT makes that catch. Paul makes that catch.
Maybe. This is on consecutive at-bats. And then the third straight at-bat, there's a ball hit to Bay, and I don't think he needed to dive for it, but he did, and he drops it. I think almost every center fielder in baseball makes that catch, and I know he's fast.
Well, I don't know, because his closing speed is a lot better than anybody else in center.
But in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, he's got some of the best speed in all of baseball.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I would have to see the jump he got on the ball, and, you know, going after a ball, I think, is different than speed on the bases.
I also think that when he dove, he immediately thought that he had to get up and throw the ball home, and that completely threw off his rhythm.
Anyway,
it was a bad play.
There was three horrendous play. I thought horrendous plays in a row, and the game just fell apart from that point on. But my point was, with all that, as I wrote today, is it okay to blame the players once in a while with this franchise? We all get it with Nutting. We get it. That's understood. We get that Shelty butchered the game on Sunday. Understood. And we get that Ben Cherington still has a roster where it feels like every single time there's an important at-bat, Jared Triolo's coming to the plate. Or Connor Joe. I've got some unbelievable numbers on these people. And yet, when those three fly balls happen, or one was a line draw, whatever you want to call those, three makeable plays in a row butchered, I had people on Twitter blaming Nutting and Shelton for that. What, you want Nutting to play second base now? You want Shelty in center field running in for balls? Can we ever blame anything on the players around here? Limits? Is that okay?
I think we've gotten so far away from that we have to come back to it.
It's like a disease around here. Key Brian Hayes is Exhibit A. What has happened with Key Brian Hayes? What is going on? I was on ESPN.com on his player page today, and I swear to you, I had to keep reading it. I had to keep reading it to make sure it was accurate. No, they must have missed one. This dude has one extra base hit since June 29th. Did you hear that?
Say it again for dramatic effect.
You say it.
Key Brian Hayes has one extra base hit since June 29th. One
extra base hit since June 29th. He has, listen to this carefully, four extra base hits since May 5th. What? Four extra base hits since May 5th? For a $70 million third baseman, what happened? Is it all the back? In his final, listen to this. They're not going to get bogged down in stats, but please indulge me. In his final 287 at-bats last year, and that was across June, August, and September. He missed July. In his final 287 at-bats, Hayes had 13 homers and 33 extra base hits. He was killing the ball for a long period of time. In about 50 more at-bats this season, he has three home runs and 12 extra base hits. What would the Pirates be if Key Brian Hayes was just decent this year? Is it okay that I blame him and veer off from Nutting, Cherington, and Shelton for a moment? Am I allowed to do that? How about Holderman? I get that the scenario the other day was ridiculous. He shouldn't have been facing Peterson. But less than a month ago, we were arguing this guy's all-star credentials. He's fallen apart. Three of the last four losses have been soul-crushing, and he got the loss in each of those. Doesn't mean he's singly to blame. Of course not. You're allowed to have a bad... He was untouchable for a couple months. You're allowed to have a bad appearance or two, but three in a row at this point in the season, and he's now been bad, sort of, pretty much, for a month and a half. He's killing them. Am I allowed to blame him? Bednar started the season with three blown saves in his first four opportunities. That's as many as he blew all of last season. You can't undo that. You don't get to undo that. That killed them early. Of course he gets to, you know, have a bad night every once in a while. Of course. And he's been pretty good since then. All the ERA is still above five. He doesn't look right. I don't think he's blown a save officially since then. But the bullpen's been awfully disappointing. And I'm sorry, I don't necessarily blame Cherington or Shelty on the usage. Sometimes, yes. But overall, Shelton's the problem with the bullpen? No, the bullpen's the problem with the bullpen. Chapman had an unbelievably miserable stretch. I can blame the players. Connor, Joe, and Triola, what are we doing? Somebody might say, well, what do you expect from Connor, Joe, and Triola? Something. Listen to this. You think Key Brian Hayes is cold on the extra base hit front? Connor Joe has 3 extra base hits since June 29th. Can you repeat what I just said, City Limits?
Connor Joe has 3 extra base hits since June 29th.
What does it feel like to say that?
Depressing.
Yes, it does.
Disappointing. Underwhelming, it feels.
Unbelievable in every sense of the word. He's been hitting like a pitcher for 3 months. And nobody ever talks about it. Nobody talks about it. He just keeps coming up to the plate. He keeps batting in the middle of the order. What do we just remember what he did in April? And that gives him like, I don't know what the word is because I forget. It's almost like totally unnoticed. Like he's a ghost every single night. Who's that guy? Oh, that's Connor Joe. Oh, he bats third tonight? Yeah. How's he been doing? Oh, he has 3 extra base hits since June 29th and has been hitting like a pitcher for 3 months, but nobody notices or talks about it. And it's certainly not on him. It's got to be on somebody else. And then Triola, I don't even know what to say anymore about that. In April, he hit 200. In May, he hit 187. In June, he hit 196. In July, he hit 229. And in August, he's hitting zero. Brian De La Cruz, can I criticize him or do you want to criticize Bob Nutting first? Or Shelty? This is obviously Shelty's fault. Have you been watching his at-bats? Oh my God. He's a one-tool player as it is, and that tool is power. Believe it or not, it's not missing baseballs by half a foot on every swing. I mean, this looks disastrous. He's 1-for-18 in August, and he looks completely overmatched. It's unbelievable to watch. What do you make of him so far?
We've gotten to the point where there are 5 to 6 guys on this roster that if you are a good competitive baseball team, I don't feel like should be on a good playoff roster. And I mean,
well,
you mentioned
De La Cruz doesn't fall under that.
De La Cruz is not on that, no. He does not fall under that category.
But I did mention Connor, Joe, and Triola.
Connor, Joe, and Triola. I mean, Triola especially. Alika Williams, I know he's down right now, but he's another guy that falls into that category. Brian De La Cruz has been a huge disappointment. I mean, look at Jazz Chisholm. He came in and jolted the Yankees. 2 home runs. He's got an OPS of over 1,000 and a 300 average since being traded there a week ago.
It feels like it, you watch him and you're like, has this guy ever gotten a hit?
I wonder if De La Cruz has ever seen a curveball or a slider every time he goes up there. He always chases the ball down low.
Oh, it's maddening. But we won't blame him. Let's blame Nutting first, foremost, and only. Never the players. Never the players. All right. Let's get back to Aiyuk Watch, shall we? And I want to talk. Let's talk Justin Fields.
We can also play your interaction with Shelty as well. The odd exchange. Yeah, we have that.
The odd exchange as it goes down in history. I want to get into some Justin Fields next is what I want to do. There's not much more to say about Aiyuk. We're going to be on watch here all day. Every development we'll hear. We're efforting some guests on that front. There may be a huge story here with Justin Fields, and we need to talk about it. Mike Tomlin was with Kay Adams doing an interview the other day that I thought was a great interview. And she asked him, is there a certain message, one message that you're pounding into Justin Fields' head? He said, yes, we'll play for you next his answer, and then juxtapose it with Fields ripping Bears coaches last season. Let's do that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. I just figured out how to finger pick this song. I'll be performing it in a coffee shop soon. Will you come and watch, Limits?
I will. Joe, what if I had like a big media event, end of summer blowout party at my pool and on my back deck?
That would be great.
I've thought about that.
Could I play there?
Yeah.
You hook me up?
I would, yes. I know a guy. I think I'd be able to hook you up with the organizer of my house.
We will have a wiffle ball tournament.
We could do that.
We'll swim in your pool.
We have to find a date, but I would like to potentially do this. Yes.
My birthday, August 26th. Why wouldn't Ron
That's
ever
a
reveal? Ron never revealed his birthday to anybody. Did you know that?
Yeah, I don't know why that would be. I mean, what is the negative of telling somebody your birthday? Like, you can tell them the day of your birthday, like the day of your birth. I understand if he doesn't want to say the year, to say old you are, but why not, like, Ron, your birthday is May 5th. Happy birthday.
Right. It's the only one. There's a video board back here that has every employee's birthday pops up so we can all see it and wish them happy birthday. Ron's never did. Something struck me as borderline tragic about that.
Maybe Ron was born on a leap year and he didn't want anyone to know about it. He was born on February 29th.
I'll tell you this much, though.
February 29th. He didn't think he had a birthday. He couldn't claim a birthday.
Oh, what if Ron didn't even have a birthday? No, he had to have had one.
Well,
I know
yes,
for a fact
considering
he does.
That he was born.
He was born, yeah. I'll never forget his last show. When he, and it's the only time I've ever seen it for any employee in this building since the station started some 14, 15 years ago, is people lined up in the hallway and clapped for Ron as he left and walked down those stairs. I get goosebumps as I say it.
It was a memorable day. It really was. Ron was very emotional that day. Very emotional.
That whole week. I still can't believe how that went down at the end. Can we play that later today? The Joe Namath call?
Yeah, I can find it. I know I have it in here somewhere.
The fact that it all came together. I have to give Pony credit for helping spur me in that direction after the showdown that Sunday night over at KDKA, mentioning, you know, you got to get these people. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You're right. I have to get a bunch of people. And then Bob Pompiani came through with some of the big name, Ben Bettis.
Yeah.
Tons of people did. Tons of people had their hand in that. But Limits, I can't tell you how many people to this day mention that they were moved by that whole week, and I think the final day in particular. It's unbelievable. More than any singular segment or interview or anything else in my time at the station anyway that involves me, nothing approaches Ron Sendoff as something that stirs people to mention it when I see him in public.
I still think about it a lot because the final segment, we're playing Sinatra. It's so emotional for Ron. And we're supposed to get Joe Green and Joe Namath as the big blowout bang. It's over. Joe Green literally was getting off the plane in Vegas for the Super Bowl.
He was at baggage claim.
And he was trying to connect with us. Like, I kept calling him and calling him and calling him and was getting nothing. And it looked like I could see the disappointment on your face. I was disappointed because Joe Namath would not answer the phone calls that we kept calling him.
Joe Namath was the big one because he's Ron's hero. And people have mentioned to me, did you script that? You know, did you script that final call from Joe Namath? Because I was in a panic on the air.
Yeah. You told Ron we were supposed to have him.
We were supposed to have him. I never would have.
But we can't.
And then at the last second he called in, like, did you script that? God, no.
No. No, we did not.
The truth of the matter is that I don't remember where his number actually came from, but I finally got a hold of him. I was at Vittmeyer's driving range the night before, and I got a call back, pick up the phone, it's Joe Namath. And the last thing he said to me was, my memory's still good, but just in case, remind me tomorrow at, like, you know, whatever, 1:30. He was supposed to come on at like 1:45. And that ending there caused me great concern.
Yes.
Because I'm like, all right, it's taken this much to get a hold of him. Are we going to be able to get a hold of him to give him the reminder and to come on the show?
I sent him a reminder text. I was like, hi, Joe. We're great to have, really excited to have you on with Ron at this time. And I called him specifically at that time. And then when I never got a text back, I called him about 20 minutes before he was supposed to come on. No answer. Called another time, no answer. And then started calling at the time we were supposed to have him on and got nothing. I eventually left a message and gave the callback number.
Right.
He did not call that number. He called the regular phone call-in number, the 412-928-9370
number. How did he get that? You said you got a call from some relative of his saying, I'll get him?
Or? Yes, saying that you should have Joe Namath on the show. And I was like, yeah, we're already, you know, we have that in the works. And he was like, he was somehow related to him. I can't remember how. And he said, all right, like, I'll remind him. And then whenever you said we were trying to get Joe Namath on, he texted in.
The guy. Yeah.
And said, I will reach out to Namath.
The fact, why did you think to pick up, people don't realize what a miracle this was.
Yes.
That he called in on the regular fan line instead of the guest line. What made you pick up the fan line when we were winding down the show like that?
And so many people were calling in on those lines that wanted to try to talk to Ron and give their thanks for him.
Why did you pick up?
I called the number so many times that as soon as it popped up, I recognized it right away. And I went, oh, bleep.
That's a
He's
gigantic.
Actually calling.
I never knew this whole story till now because it ended in such a rush of emotion and everything that we never really hashed this out. That was an incredible under pressure move by you.
It was huge. Yeah, it was big time. I mean, that is one of, because I was still part time at that time doing the show and did no idea what was going to happen. That I think that show was
normally
that show was
somebody
big.
Would have said thank you in that situation, but go ahead.
Oh, I did. I thanked
to me for saying that was an incredible thing, and you said yes, it was.
Thank
it
you
was
very much,
time.
Joe.
It was great.
Was. I mean,
it was.
It was. We talked
great
about
move.
This before. It was.
I know. We, but not
it
in
was
this
huge.
Not in this great a detail we have.
It was huge to be able to just see it pop up, and it was just kind of on instinct to look because I just had my eyes glued to
and
the
then
call
what
screener.
Happened?
So I immediately picked it up and was like, Joe, you know, how are you? Let's put you on and get you on with Ron. And then
so you knew you just said Joe like that? Or did you say, is this Joe Namath?
Pretty much, yes.
Because
I recognized the number. I said, 93.7 The Fan, Joe, are you there? And he was like, yeah, I'm here.
What talk a miracle
to,
that
talk,
was.
Talked to him for probably 30 seconds to a minute, just how cool it was to talk to him because you were still in mid-conversation with Ron. And then somehow, some way, I found a perfect time to just butt in when you said, Ron, we tried to get Joe Namath, but no, we won't. And then I said, you know what? Yes, we will, Joe. Here he is. Put him on, and Ron started just being overcome with emotion.
Do you have that call right now? I feel like we're going to lose the moment if we try to explain all this later in the show. You know what I mean?
Right.
We have the Noah Constrictor.
You're
going
to have to.
Here.
You're going to have to give me just a second
yeah,
here,
Joe. I can indulge you. Oh my God! There was a there were so many opportunities for that yesterday, and Sean Myers didn't have the drop.
Did he not know about the Paul pause?
It was very sad. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills, South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Wait a second, is this Wednesday? What day is this?
Wednesday.
Where's the general?
The general's on hold.
Why didn't you tell me? No, he's not. He's at hold. He is?
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me?
I don't know. You always just know that the general's on hold.
Never assume that I know anything. I'm all over the place.
I'm sorry for assuming that I thought you knew.
I'm sorry for saying that you should have known that I thought I knew.
That's
okay. What the hell I'm talking about.
I know.
Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 82 today with cloudy skies. Do you have the Namath call?
I do.
Let's bring on the general because Ron and him had a nice relationship, albeit a brief one. General, how are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. It is a miracle you got a hold of Namath.
It really is. I mean, I can't believe that city limits on a day like that. I was nervous. I can't imagine how limits felt. You know, that was like getting put into to a Super Bowl in the final minute, and this guy kicked the winning field goal. Our little 140-pound friend.
I have it whenever you're ready.
I'll throw to it when appropriate. we're having a passive aggressive fest now.
No, I was just making sure that you knew because I had to download it. Make sure it was ready.
I know. Thank you, City Limits.
Thank you, Joe. And thank you, Jeff.
And thank you for saying
that. Oh, yes.
Thank you to Jeff and to me. How are you, General?
Fantastic. Appreciate you having me on.
I'm glad that you're on for this moment. After all the lead-up, this is what happened when we finally, and the show, it was really past time. Not that that ever stops me, but it was past time. We had to go. It was time to say goodbye to Ron. Tears are beginning to flow all around Western Pennsylvania, including standing right across from me, Ron Cook, when, to make for the perfect ending to his career, his childhood hero actually called the show. And I said, I want to finish this with Namath.
And guess what, Joe?
No. And we're going to finish.
We are.
Oh. We're going to finish it with Joe Namath. Broadway Joe from beginning to end. Joe, how are you? Talk to Ron Cook.
Hey, Ron, it's Beaver Valley, Ron and Joe, Beaver Falls.
Yes, sir, Joe. I'm a Beaver Falls boy and proud of it, just like you.
Well, thanks for having me on, you guys.
I appreciate you calling, man. We were just talking about how it's always a thrill to talk to you.
Well, I wish more people felt that way.
I think they all feel that way, Joe. You know, how's your health? How are you doing? You okay?
Yes. It's not a perfect world, but the family's healthy. You know, the grandchildren. My brother Frank moved on a couple of weeks ago. We'll be meeting up in not too distant future. But, I'm doing well enough. Thank you.
Well,
and we had a chance to continue that chat for a couple minutes. What a moment, really. It really was just perfect. Anyway, General, I'm glad you were here to hear that. And let's get to the card of the week. What's your guess, Limits?
I'm going to say Patrick Queen.
I like that guess a lot. I'm going to say Sidney Crosby on his birthday.
Happy birthday, Sid. Will the contract come today?
What do you got, General?
Nice. All good guesses. We're going outside of Pittsburgh this week, though. Anybody paying attention to Aaron Judge? 322, 41, and 103. And I don't know how you do that in obscurity in New York City, but now I feel like we need to add a Sidney Crosby card and a Joe Namath card to the bounty. Ooh, this week.
I like that a lot.
So we're going to make it a 3-for-1. I have a 2013 Bowman Aaron Judge. He was a mountain of a man then, not even close to what he is now, but 11 years ago we have his rookie card for the listeners. And also we'll add a Sid card and a Namath.
This has become downright incrinculent. Sidney Crosby with Aaron Judge and Joe Namath. What a trio.
How about one extra Ron story? I must have had 500 people come in the week after he left to tell me how much they're going to miss him.
Wow.
So it was impactful. Cleared out the baseball card castle.
Why didn't we make a commemorative card for Ron?
We should do that.
A Ron card.
Well, there was a Ron Cook pitcher for the Houston Astros, then, and the general gave Ron that card, right, General?
Yeah, he had a 1971 and a 1972.
And you are right across from Ron's favorite restaurant, correct?
Exactly right.
Which I think he still goes to, by the way. I think
he loved Domenico's.
Domenico's. He secretly flies in and goes there. I'm convinced of it. General, thank you, sir.
Have a good week. See you guys.
See you, buddy. That is quite a trio of cards of the week there. Listen to this show every Wednesday. To hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest, run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Up next, Noah Hyles, the Noah Constrictor, talking about events last night at PNC Park. And we continue to be on Aiyuk watch here, which is where we let off the show. Are they back at the goal line, to borrow Pony's parlance? And when will they call a better play this time? Can we get Arthur Smith to call the play this time? We'll give you updates, and hopefully they'll get it done as the show moves along here.
Joe, can I play you one final clip of Ron as we lead into the break?
I would love it.
The universe.
Here's the creation of the universe. I'm out here. It's a void. Let me tell you, folks, we've got nothingness. Just a void. Oh, wait a minute. It appears that something large has exploded. Where once there was nothing, now there is form.
All right, question two.
I'd like to thank my good friends at Domenico's for sponsoring this big bang.
May I introduce you to tonight's dessert special, tiramisu. We're also having a wine special, Chardonnay. She'll be appearing at Crickets after the show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.